Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I have been eagerly anticipating this episode because I feel like this topic is so, so important. In fact, before we started recording, I was literally telling the guest that last night I got a phone call about this specific topic, someone close in my life where they just received news of a situation and they were just heartbroken over this. And I feel like so many people either have personally experienced this or know someone close to them. And we need to talk about this. It's just something that is an important topic. And so I am excited for Joanna and Matthew Rapsmith to be in studio today. We're talking about their new book, Building True Intimacy, Creating a Connection That Stands the Test of Time. And they have such wisdom to share. And I personally, as I've been reading this book, have been so challenged in my own marriage and my own relationship. So I can't wait to learn from both of you. But I'd love for you to start with just giving us a little bit of set the stage for why you wrote this book.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. We are so excited because this book was, it was a labor of love. Yes. It took a lot of years to put together, but it was really about wanting to reflect on our own experience and how that experience could help the journey of other couples. Joanna and I had the kind of marriage that we were super excited about. We loved, we liked who we were together. And in the midst of trying to build our relationship, really things came crashing down really quickly. And when Joanna discovered that I had been hiding this whole other life around sexual addiction and pornography, and everything that we thought we had felt like it was lost. And we were in this really scary place of, will we ever put that back together? Will the pieces of the puzzle, will the marriage that we dreamed of ever be a reality? And our journey really became an opportunity to say, how do we help other couples find their way, to the kind of the marriage, the relationship of their dreams, regardless of where they are in the journey?
Absolutely. And when we started the journey of healing, of recovery after this came to light, we knew that we weren't okay with just surviving on the other side. If we were going to put in the hard work and the effort and go through the pain of healing, we wanted something really amazing. We wanted a relationship that felt like we were thriving, really the relationship of our dreams. And so we had some bumps, some bruises along the way. We like to say we took the long route so we could help other people kind of have the shorter route. And so that's really what that book is about. It's kind of giving the framework of healing or building true thriving connection as a couple.
As you were saying what you were talking about, you wanted to thrive, not just survive. It reminded me, there was a quote in your book, more of the same is a killer for couples. And you were talking about how you're either in every interaction with your spouse, you're either moving closer, you're moving further away. And I just thought that that was really powerful because I think we oftentimes don't recognize that in the little moments, in the everydayness, we're building patterns of either connection or I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking conflict. I was trying to think of another C word. You probably have a better word for that. But talk to us about what that has looked like in your marriage. How have you gotten to that place, like where you are not just surviving, where you're thriving?
Yeah, it really is that simple. I mean, connection or disconnection. This is happening all the time between couples. And it is something we think about. You know, we always think about the big moments, the date nights or the getaways, the retreats. And those really matter. But it's how we speak to each other as we're getting breakfast ready for our kids. It's the way a decision is made around our schedule and where we prioritize time or money. These interactions, how we work together, is really what's shaping who we are, but it's also shaping our experience of the relationship. And when I'm not experiencing the relationship as life-giving, I will naturally, my brain will want to pull away. It will want to find kind of either isolation or it'll seek something somewhere somewhere else. And so helping couples recognize that the moments together are what drive us together. The how we experience each other is what's going to determine how much more we want of that relationship.
And one of the things that really helped us with this early on is when we learned that couples don't have 1,000 different issues. They have one issue. It's the way we're relating about the actual issue. And what we learned is when we are emotionally dysregulated, we're showing up in ways that create disconnection rather than connection. When we show up in healthy, regulated, emotionally regulated ways, we're capable of then driving connection, no matter what the topic is, what the issue, what we're doing in life. And so we started practicing being self-aware of where we were emotionally so we can make sure at all times we're able to show up in those healthy, constructive ways. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to talk about what that looks like. I'm gonna give you a super, I'm just gonna get real vulnerable. Okay, so this is the thing that I was like literally working through as I was reading and you were talking about that section in the book. So I like to get places on time when it matters. Okay, mm-hmm. Like there's certain things where I'm like, you know, you can show up whatever, it doesn't matter. But school, like I do not like my kids to get tardies at school. My husband could really not care. Like he really just, it's like, it's just a tardy. It's not a big deal. And so the morning, like I had just read this. I'm like, why do you guys have to be convicting me? So we're trying to get out the door and it is just kind of falling apart. And we get in the car and I'm so frustrated because yet again, we're 2 minutes late. Here we go. And I'm sitting there and I'm just thinking, oh, I know this is about me. Like, I know this is about me, but what do I do in that moment? Because I failed. Like, I thought I was actually doing really well because I didn't blow up on my husband. I didn't say, you should just, you know, this is important to me and all this. I actually just sat there and I just fumed. And then my 15-year-old son who we were dropping off at school, he had a bad attitude. And then he gets out of the car and my husband looks at me and goes, you know that your attitude affects my attitude, that affects his attitude. And I was just sitting there going, my whole family is starting the day off poorly because I am frustrated, but there's something deeper here.
Yeah.
And so just like talk to me about what do I do in that moment? Because this is happening all the time.
Yeah. We've had that argument.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
He's the on time one. I'm the couldn't care less. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for us, it was recognizing what is the underneath.
Yeah.
So much we want to make it about time. Like, okay, what time are we going to leave? What's important? What's the value? Mm-hmm. But what we really know is that there's something underneath that's driving that desire to be on time. For me, my desire to be on time was a lot of how I thought people would see me. And this isn't the same for everybody. Everybody has different underlying reasons. And that's what makes it tricky. We can't all just say, if you want to be on time, this is what it means about you. It's more about doing the work to kind of figure out. For me, it felt like I was failing. If I was not on time, I was going to upset someone. And that meant that I was failing them and that I was kind of lesser in their eyes. So who I was as a person was not as good of a person as I wanted to be or thought I was. And so I would put all of this energy and effort into making sure we went on time. So if that meant I had to be grumpy or gruff or curt to get everybody out the door on time, that would protect my sense of self. Mm-hmm. And what we recognize is we thought we were fighting about time, but what I was really arguing about was my sense of self, that right now I'm not feeling like a good person. And that's not something Joanna can fix. That's not something, it's not her job. And what we found in marriages is that where a lot of marriages struggle is they think that the idea of the relationship is, you know, my spouse's job is to fix what I'm feeling inside, mm-hmm. That she's supposed to take care of me and then I'm supposed to take care of her. The truth is that won't work because what that's going to do is going to create these two kind of parent-child relationships, right? Where she's taking care of me, I'm taking care of her, but neither one of us is partners. Yeah. Healthy relationships are when I recognize, oh, I see what I'm doing. I'm making this about me, right? I'm making this about my insecurities, but here's what's true. I'm a good person. Right? I've done a lot of really good things in my life. If my kids are late to school, that won't change about me, even though that's what I might feel inside. And once I recognize that, then I get to turn to her and we get to work together. Now, what's really interesting is we still have to figure out how to work together.
And you can see how if he doesn't do that work and he starts showing up grumpy or controlling, right?
Only a few times in my life.
How that's probably going to impact me, right? And so all of a sudden, I'm taking that external information and it's easy for me to let it inform my sense of worth or safety. And so all of a sudden, so one of my big things is I start to feel unsafe. I start to feel alone. And so when that happens, do I all of a sudden show up on time places? Not usually. I usually try to take some power back and tell him what to do. You know what? You should really chill out. You should really loosen up a little bit because it's not that big of a deal, which reinforces his broken identity, that he's a failure, that he's not good enough. And so we can sit in that kind of more disconnection spiral, right? You can see where it's all this stuff going on under the surface. Mm-hmm. We're not saying any of that to each other. We're talking about being on time or not. But this is what then starts to create that disconnection if we don't have that awareness and we don't step in and deal with our stuff.
And then the kids get involved, right? One of my favorite moments is Joanna and I were in an argument. And it's always hilarious because we do this professionally. Like we're professional relationship people. So when we get in an argument, it's like, wait, we know what to do and we still don't do it. And we got in this argument in front of our kids. And I looked at Joanna and I said, Joanna, you need to grow up. And my four-year-old at the time looks at me and says, Daddy, I think you need to grow up. You know, and it was like just such the moment of being like, oh, I just got called on my own stuff. And she was so right. But that's what we do, right? Yeah. We kind of descend into this emotional chaos. And we're hoping that the external thing will change, right? That if I get somewhere on time, if I get the project completed, if somebody tells me that I did something well, I'll feel safe, I'll feel loved, I'll feel good about myself. And those things can happen. But when I'm relying on those, that's when I become dependent. And we hear a lot of this like dependency and codependent language. And that's really what it is. It's that I haven't secured my own sense of self and safety so that I can pour into loving others well, right? Which doesn't mean just kind of not caring about anything. Right. Like we care about our family in the way we decide time, right? Mm-hmm. How we get places, what that looks like. But we can't do that together when it's about my sense of identity or my sense of safety.
Mm. That's so good. As you're saying this, I'm literally thinking, I feel like for me, two things was like, it's very important for me to feel valuable. And so like I have communicated to Jesse many times, like it's important for me to get there on time. Like that's something that's important. So when he doesn't prioritize that according to how I think it should be prioritized, then it's making me feel devalued. But as you were saying, what you're saying, I was thinking, but my worth and value should not be coming from my husband.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, exactly. I need to be finding my worth and value for me as a Christian in the Lord. And our pastor preached a sermon on Sunday and it was all about how like when we are looking to something outside of God to fulfill us, you know, we're always going to be ending up in these broken places because no one outside of God can truly fill that. And so I was just, you're saying that and I'm thinking, ooh, so I need to work on where is my value coming from? And do I see it as like, God loves me for exactly who I am. And I don't need to try to earn that other places. And then, you know, also I think I am actually frustrated with myself because I know there's things that I could do to help us get out the door better. But it's easier for me instead of owning my own stuff to just be like, why didn't you, you know, and just to throw it. But it's actually frustration at myself because I know that I need to work on these things. And so thank you for the therapy session. That was really good. Okay. So one of the things that you said in the book that I honestly have not heard before and was really challenged by, and for years and years and years, I've said this. I've talked about how marriage requires compromise and you say no. So we need to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the type of compromise that I think we see that's so dangerous is a compromise that's really built on, we talk about like compliancy or kind of giving up. I think a lot of people would like to avoid working through something. They want efficiency, or they're tired because they have a really busy life. And we have a 9, 7, and 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. We used to have 2-hour conversations about, you know, the kind of bread we were going to buy. Right now, if a conversation takes more than 20 seconds, it's too long, right? So we've kind of started sacrificing collaboration at the altar of efficiency. Yeah. And compromise is really what that's about, is that I just want to give you what you want right now, mm-hmm. so I can get what I want later, mm-hmm. rather than us deciding what do we want together.
Yeah.
Because really relationships are about caring for the thing that we share together.
Yes.
It's like I said, not I'm caring for you, you're caring for me. Mm-hmm. It's that, how are we caring for our relationship? Almost like it's a third child, right? Like almost like it's a kid mm-hmm. that we're responsible to nurture throughout our life.
Yeah. We say that compromise, it's really, we're just taking turns losing, mm-hmm. right? It's a very polite way to take turns losing, rather than believing there is an option where I win, where you win, and where our relationship wins, and approaching every single conversation, every single decision from that way mm-hmm. is going to drive connection, unity, and a deep level of intimacy. And part of the switch that has helped us with that is, like Matthew's talking about, thinking about the health of our relationship. And if we prioritize that, we know that when the relationship wins, we win individually, because one of the most important things to thrive as individuals is to be in a secure attachment. And so much research recently has talked about this. And so going, okay, if we're prioritizing our relationship, we're making a decision that protects the health of that, it's also going to protect the health of us as individuals. And so it's a lot easier to come to a unified decision when we're after the same goal, right? It's not my needs versus your needs, right? A lot of times when we approach decisions, that's where we're from, right? We're just considering those two things, not the needs of that third thing, the relationship.
I know that life can feel hectic, and Glorify is an app that will help you to slow down. We all need these reminders throughout our day, throughout our life, to slow down. It's an app that will help you start your day with peace through daily devotionals, or to wind down your day with scripture-based reflections and sleep meditations. I love that you can start your day by reading the Bible passage of the day on the Glorify app, and then you can dive into Glorify's daily devotional, and then you can wrap up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. Or if you struggle to sleep at night, or you just want to help calm your mind down before you go to bed and hopefully then sleep deeper and better, Glorify has different guided meditations or different curated worship playlists to help you have quiet reflection before you go to bed. Visit glorify-app.com/crystal right now to download the Glorify app for free. That's glorify-app.com/crystal to download the Glorify app for free. glorify-app.com/crystal. Do you want to set your child up for success? Maybe your child's struggling with a specific subject, or you feel like they just need extra help with their homework and you don't feel qualified to help them out. Or they're asking questions, or you just feel like in school, they're not just really at the pace that you would like for them to be, or maybe they're not being challenged enough in their class. IXL is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Silas used IXL in his math class, and he loved the data points that it gave him, and he loved how he was able to work ahead, and it just really motivated him in math, and is someone who really loves to see, you know, exactly where he is and all of the percentages and all of that. It was perfect for him. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms, so it gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And you can save time because one subscription gets you everything. You can use it for kids from pre-K to 12th grade. And A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL, so it can save you money. 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. use IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Crystal Payne Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. If you're someone like me who doesn't naturally just know how to put together outfits and you need to have some suggestions, or you would love to have someone help pick out clothes for you, y'all, you got to check out Armoire. They are a great service for people who love to dress well, but don't want to spend a lot of time trying to make it happen. You can take a quick 5-minute style quiz and build a personalized closet, and then have high quality, unique pieces delivered to your door in as little as 2 days. And best of all, when you're ready for something new, you can simply swap them out for fresh styles. No laundry required. It's a great way to learn what your style is, to try some new things, to maybe step outside your fashion comfort zone a little bit, and to also have a stress-free experience getting dressed every day. I have loved Armoire, and in fact, two of my very favorite pairs of jeans were ones that I found through Armoire. I never would have tried them if it had not been for them picking them out for me and sending them to me. But I fell in love, and I wear them over and over and over and over again because, yes, I love them so much that I ended up buying them. Armoire can help you define your personal style. I love also that it can help if your body is changing, if you're on a fitness journey or during pregnancy. And it's women owned and led. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That's armoire.style/crystal. To get up to 50% off your first month, and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
So let's get really practical when it comes to, okay, finances. I know that that's an area that a lot of marriages really struggle with. And I hear from women so often who they want to get on a budget. They want to get in a better place financially, but they feel like that their husband just, he has no desire to do it, or he just sees it very differently. And I've always said, you know, kind of like you need to communicate, you need to listen to his needs, and then find ways to compromise. And you're saying no, which is good. This is great. I love this. This is challenging me. But what would that look like? So they're trying to, you know, especially let's say that the husband is just feeling like, from what she's telling me, you know, he has no desire to do this, but yet she has this desperate desire to want to get to in a better place financially. What would you counsel her then? How does she approach him? How do they work through this in a healthy way?
Yeah. I think one of the first things is kind of what we were talking about earlier, the underlying feelings, emotions going on around the issue. Right. I would imagine a couple in that place. And right, again, we've been in those places where we're coming at something from very different sides. I know I'm already triggered. I'm already emotionally dysregulated. I'm already probably in that situation feeling unsafe, insecure. Our finances maybe are a mess, or they aren't where I feel like they should be to maybe protect us in some way. And then on top of that, if my spouse doesn't seem to be involved or caring or supporting that concern, I'm feeling alone. I'm feeling abandoned, right? And so any attempt to collaborate from that place is going to go wrong, because I know probably on the other side of the conversation is my husband, who's feeling his own emotions, his own pain, his own triggers around that.
And I might be feeling something like overwhelmed. I might be feeling like there's not enough. And so a conversation that requires more of my energy and more of my time, I'm feeling like I don't have. And then I want to kind of opt out of the process, right? I'm likely to say, oh, that's just too much for me. Can we talk about that tomorrow, right? I'm going to put it off, which is just going to reinforce my wife's sense of probably feeling alone, unsafe, insecure. And so we've never really even talked about money. We've not not actually gotten to the thing we've thought we had, right? We thought we'd been talking about our schedule and our time and when we're going to have this conversation, but we've really been talking about these deep underlying fears and insecurities. And so addressing those first, that's the only way we get out of that kind of compromise, that compliancy, or we talk about competition where it's you versus me. Are we going to have a budget? Are we not going to have a budget, right? Mm-hmm. Which is going to win the day? Mm-hmm. And we see so many couples coming into our sessions and they'll want to convince us of things. It's great, right? They'll want to tell us, this is why we have to have a budget. I read a book. I heard, I went to a blog. I have all this information. And the other person is saying, I read in the Bible that this, and they've got all these different arguments, but they're not actually talking about the issues. They're not dealing with the underneath. When they deal with the underneath, that's what opens us up to then say, what is our relationship need? What does our marriage really need when it comes to finances? Because our marriage is impacted by finances. Yeah. Who we are as a couple is something that interacts with money. And so we have to decide that together. I can kind of give another example. Like Joanne and I, we travel, and it's one of a kind of values of our family, but we travel very differently. I grew up where travel meant you went to the beach and you sat on a chair for 6 days, right? You maybe played some putt-putt, but you did nothing when it came to travel, right? Travel was rest. It was all rest. And Joanna's travel is no rest. It is go, go, go. She wants to see everything. All she wants things. To do everything. And so when we were first together and we were planning our first trip, I remember like, okay, we're going to go to the beach and we're going to sit there. And she's like, no. And so we would have these arguments about which was the better way to travel, right? Mm-hmm. Is it better to go? Is it better to stay? And that was a lot of like me versus her, right? Yeah. Who was going to win? Mm-hmm. And ultimately what we had to ask was, what does our marriage need? What does our marriage thrive on? And what we found was that our marriage thrives on novelty. Our relationship has always improved when we're doing new things. And so that new thing could be sitting on a beach, right? Mm-hmm. Relaxing somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or that new thing could be a day of excursions and activities and adventures, mm-hmm. right? It's that newness and that new experience that we get to share together that builds that new memory. That's what our marriage has always thrived on.
And so it might look like compromise from the outside where there's a balance of rest and play that we've cultivated in the way we travel. But inside, it's much different. Inside, it was a fully collaborative effort where we both felt heard. We both felt understood. We both felt like we got to make a fully empowered decision for ourselves and for our relationship.
Yeah.
So I can hear the woman listening to this going, that's amazing, but my husband is unwilling to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. What do we do in that situation?
Yeah. I think that's when it's a great place to talk about, like, what are we working for? Mm-hmm. I think as someone who has avoided a lot of conversations in their life, I still care a lot about things. And so when someone's avoiding, it can feel like they don't care. It can be communicated to the other person. It makes total sense. I wouldn't want to deny that, like that maybe this person doesn't care. I find that people who avoid care a lot, but they're not always sure kind of if they have the energy, the space, the capacity, or even the ability to care well. And so I didn't feel super capable as a parent when we started having kids. And early on in our relationship, I pulled away from some of the parenting roles. And it really required me to kind of look deeper. But Joanna also kind of said, like, hey, what is our family going to be about? Is our family going to be about the caretaking of the next generation? And if that's the case, right, I need you to be on board with that. And that's what we find is, can we find the common ground for that wife who's wondering, I don't think my husband will enter into that conversation. I would maybe say, like, what conversation will he enter into, mm-hmm. right? What conversation is he willing to have maybe about the relationship, about what the core values are? Because usually when we start talking about core values, that's where we find alignment, right? That's mm-hmm. where it's amazing. We will find couples who can disagree about everything, can see everything differently, but you will kind of boil them down to their core values. And it's amazing how aligned they are.
The other thing I would encourage that woman, that wife to do is to step back. So what makes it very challenging is when we're in that emotional pain place, right? When the most important person to me in life, I feel like they don't care. That's hard. That's painful. That is scary. And that triggers a part of our brain that is actually the fight or flight part of our brain, which goes into this all or nothing perception, right? And so it's not, well, it seems like he doesn't care in this area, but I know he really cares and all that, right? No, it's just, he doesn't care and I'm alone, right? And so for me, what's been really helpful, that's helped regulate some of those times is to step back and look at the wider picture and try to pick out the things, the moments that do tell me he cares, that he's in some way. Maybe not in this particular issue that's coming up, but as I look at that wider picture, I can name that truth that no, he does care. It's just some pain that's keeping him from being able to show up in this area right now. And I want to be really curious about that. Mm. I want to understand better what that is. Mm-hmm. And when I believe the truth is that he does care, he's just in his pain, not able to show up right now. It's a lot easier for me to approach in that open and curious way rather than out of my pain, which is going to try to force him into that conversation, which then will turn out to be a bad conversation, which leaves me feeling more alone and more unsafe, right? Ultimately, it doesn't move me in any direction I want to go. Mm.
And as you were saying that, I was thinking how back to the being late and my issues with that, and how if I can look at it from a different perspective of actually Jesse is trying, like he is, you know, getting our 4-year-old who has a lot of disabilities, he's taking care of his feeding tube and he's doing, like, I can look at all the things that he's doing to help in the morning, and that can really change my perspective of, you know, we're both working hard to get out the door and we're doing the best that we can. And some days it's just going to be better than others because you're dealing with a lot of circumstances that are outside of your control. Yes. And so to like give grace and assume that positive intent versus coming from that perspective of he just doesn't value me, you know?
Absolutely.
And I find that in that place of when I have convinced myself of something that isn't true, then I start speaking out of like so much hurt and anger and all sorts of things that I don't even mean.
Yeah.
Like it just starts coming out of me because it's like my own stuff. And then it just makes things so much worse. So in your book, you talk about the intimacy pyramid, and I know that there's a lot to unpack with that, but I just love for you to give people just a little bit of a taste of what that is so then they can dive in more and get your book.
Yeah. What we really wanted to do is try to kind of conceptualize how really great relationships are built and what they kind of look like, because we all want that dream. We all have this dream that our marriage and that intimate relationships are going to feel connected. We're going to feel alive, that thriving sense. It's just that very few of us were trained how to get there. You know, we just thought, okay, wedding ring, right? A bunch of people at a party, you know, we do the marriage thing and we've got it. And that's just not how it works. And so we wanted to create a framework that was very simple. And it really was the idea kind of came to us from Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So people are usually familiar with this idea that we focus on our basic needs first, right? Do I have food? Do I have water? Right? Do I have these basic needs? And upon those basic needs, I'm kind of building different levels of my own kind of personal growth, my own personal development, my own personal joy. Well, it's the same with relationships. And so we really wanted something that would describe kind of the foundational pieces of a relationship, that if you want a strong marriage, if you want a thriving marriage, you have to have these base pieces. And then what order we kind of build those things in, right? Because the order matters. And so we wanted to create just a very simplistic way of working through that.
And so the visual is a pyramid, and that base layer is honesty. We found that in our own story and professionally working with so many couples, that if that honesty layer is cracked at all, everything else comes tumbling down. And so we start with that honesty level, which includes not just lying, right? But a level of self-awareness. So I can speak up and share and be assertive in relationship in a healthy way. On top of honesty, we have safety, which is a lot of what we've been talking about in terms of that self-regulation. Can I show up consistently in healthy, constructive ways, even when it's hard, right? When we both can do that, we have a deep sense of safety and security in our relationship.
That's what allows us to be in a trusting relationship. And trust is about working into that partnership, practicing collaboration, being courageous. It's scary to kind of give to a relationship because you recognize I might not always get back. And yeah. So we have to work on that kind of giving partnership. Mm-hmm. And once we've done that, this is what allows for really healthy vulnerability. And that's that next mm-hmm. level. The next level of relationship is when I trust you, now I get to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. which means I get to share my fears, but I also get to share my joys, my celebrations with you. Like I get to actually get excited about the possibility and I get to open up parts of myself that I've kind of kept away usually from other people or other relationships out of that fear. And that's what gives way to that intimacy, right? That's what gives way to relationships that are passionate, that have a sense of purpose to them, but they're also really playful and fun. And it's what we were finding is because we work with a lot of couples where there's been betrayal, where there's been this significant breach of trust. They all were coming to us saying, hey, I want intimacy, right? I want the marriage that we dreamed of. They just want it tomorrow. And we were having to explain to them, you can want that, but if you don't build it the right way, right, you didn't have honesty the first time, right? Because someone was withholding information. And so that's why your intimacy, it couldn't stand. It kept collapsing in on itself. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to create a kind of marriage that it's tough, right? It's gonna go through hard seasons. It's gonna go through challenges, but it's going to feel like it brings us life. Mm-hmm. There's a particular way, and we need to do it.
Mm. As you were sharing all that, I was just thinking back to the conversation that I had on the phone last night, and this person was saying it had been a betrayal of marriage situation, and this person was saying to me, I don't know how you get to that place, mm-hmm. and I said, I really feel like it's those little daily mm-hmm. choices. Yeah. It starts with the little tiny choices. And I was just telling them how, mm-hmm. you know, it's just such a reminder to me that in the seeming day in and day out where it feels like this doesn't really matter, it matters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I just love how in this book, you're so practical and you really say the hard things that I need to hear, that others need to hear, but you do it in a really kind way that can be received and just really help couples to recognize that those little choices on a day-to-day basis, like that matters mm-hmm. so much. And so thank you so much for the work that you were doing to just impact marriages around the world. Literally, you were talking about, like, it sounds like you're, you know, helping marriages not only just here, but all around the world. And it's so important. And just for this book that is challenging and changing me, and I know can just impact so many other people. So if you're listening and you are thinking, I need more details, you do. You need to go get a copy of Building True Intimacy, Creating a Connection That Stands the Test of Time by Joanna and Matthew Rapsmith. And we will put the link to that in the show notes.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.